about 25 after the hour here on Rock Chalk Sports Talk, new FM 101.7 and 1320 KLWN. Joining us now, our good friend for his weekly visit, Matt Tate of the Lawrence Journal World. How you doing, man?
I'm doing great. How are you?
I'm good, man. I'm sure you heard the news yesterday, Thad Matta out at Ohio State, and there have been rumblings of some big-time coaches who may be willing to leave good jobs to go to Ohio State. I know that it's probably not in your top five, but how would you kind of rank your top five college coaching gigs?
Man, yeah, that's tough. I've spent a lot of time kind of talking about that just casually over the last several years just because it's a fun topic. It's sort of in the same topic as, you know, identifying which programs are truly blue blood programs and which aren't, which is a good debate too. You know, I mean, you look at UCLA, right? Well, are they still a blue blood based on the, you know, the dynasty that they had back in the day, or are they, you know, have what they've done recently kind of knocked them off that perch a little bit? So I think obviously Kansas, Kentucky, Carolina, and Duke are the automatic four. And I'm kind of the belief that, you know, instead of throwing another one, two, three gigs in with that group, I think you just cut it off right there.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, UCLA is one that comes up. Arizona's one that comes up. Michigan State's one that comes up. Indiana's one that comes up. And they're all great, you know, and they all have a lot of things to like. But I don't know that any of those that I just mentioned can consistently and even historically crack that top four of Duke, Carolina, Kansas, and Kentucky. So that's really where I look at it. And you know, I don't think, to kind of bring it back topically to what you were talking about, I don't think Ohio State is anywhere close to that Arizona, Michigan State, Indiana mix that I just mentioned. So it'll be really interesting. I mean, I think with the right guy, it's a big hire for them, and I think with the right guy, they absolutely could make a vault. And you know, it's not going to happen, obviously. But let's say that this was a different time, and this was 2003, and that Ohio State job was open, and Bill Self were looking to leave and looking for a bigger jump or whatever. If a guy like Bill Self had deemed that job worth taking and worth, you know, going and building whatever he's going to build there, then 15 years from now, we could be talking about it as you know, maybe deserving of being in that category. But you don't find Bill Selfs every day, and they're going to have to do a lot of work to even get close to that level. And that's knowing that not too many years ago they were, you know, Final Four team and perennial contender and all that. But it's just the consistency that's so important, at least in my eyes.
Yeah, I agree. And I think that when you talk about those four schools, what they clearly have over everybody else is just unmatched tradition. But when you get to that next level of schools, whoever you think's in there, you know, Arizona, Michigan State, Louisville, UCLA, I do think that if you want to bank on your history and your tradition, it's got to be really good. Because for schools like UCLA, in 2017, like on the open market, let's say every single job was available and every single coach was a free agent, like how much does success from 10 years ago, 20 years ago, 30 years ago ring true for coaches who are trying to build a program in the here and now?
Yeah, well, and that's just it, too. I mean, Michigan State's a great example. I think Tom Izzo's as good as any coach in the country. I don't think many people would argue that. I mean,
right.
If I were an athletic director or the president of a school and I had a basketball opening, I would say, is there any way we can get Tom Izzo? You know, and the answer would probably be no pretty quickly. but that he would be a guy that I would love to go after, and I would love to have representing my program and running my program and all of that. So, you know, that to me is a different thing, though, than saying that just because he's one of the best coaches in the country doesn't mean that that's one of the best jobs.
Right, exactly.
In the country,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So I think that's an important distinction to make. And then, you know, part of what kind of justifies that or I guess lends support to that claim is the fact that one of the things that's made Izzo such a darn good coach is the fact that he gets done when it counts. But how many of those Michigan State teams were, you know, a 6 seed or a 7 seed or you know, underachieved a little bit over the course of the year and then turned it on in March, largely because of his ability to do that and to get his teams playing at their best at the right time and making that Final Four run and all that stuff. But does that tell you that, man, if they were just a 6 or a 7 seed, what's wrong there? Why? How can you call that one of the best jobs in the country? You know, when there's other teams that you know are mid majors that are 6 and 7 seeds too. So I think there's some very important lines that are really thin, but also really really determine how you kind of rank and I guess lay out the landscape of all of this.
Yeah, we're talking to Matt Tate of the Lawrence Journal World here on the new FM 101.7 and 1320 KLWN. Like, say you're like Sean Miller of Arizona. He's a guy who's being linked to that job.
Right.
Would you take a job at Ohio State over Arizona? If you're Shaka Smart, would you take a job at Ohio State over Texas?
I mean, you know, you have to look at what both of those guys that you mentioned right there are doing right now. Sean Miller's killing the recruiting game.
Yeah.
I mean, Arizona is stacking class after class after class right now. So why would he leave to go start a rebuild? You know, and that's essentially what you're going to be doing at Ohio State. I mean, you're not starting from zero, obviously, and Thad Matta did a fantastic job while he was there. And obviously they've got a lot to hang their hats on. But you're starting over, and it would be a big-time transition and transformation and all that. The same thing with Shaka Smart. I mean, he's already done that by leaving VCU and going to Texas. I mean, he jumped off that cliff, and look what he's done. He's actually kind of had a pretty big-time recruiting class right now. I mean, this 17 class for Texas has put Texas back on the map, and last year they got Jared Allen, who's a stud. So he's clearly in a good spot and clearly, you know, where he wants to be. So I don't view that as something that those guys would give up to go do this thing at Ohio State. Now, you know, there are some others, even in those conferences, even in the Pac-12 or the Big 12 or even the ACC potentially. You know, you're looking at some guys that might be intrigued by that. And there's so many factors and so many things are. I guess personal, right? I mean, some of it is, do you have ties to that Ohio area? Do you have ties to those metro cities? You know, do you have a comfort up there? And if so, does that help your recruiting? You know, if you're trying to recruit to either coast, but all your guys, all your contacts, all your connections are right there in the Cleveland, Cincinnati, you know, that type of area, then that would make sense for you to go back and make that jump, you know, because it's easier to get those guys to go a few miles from home than it is to get them all the way out to the coast or whatever. So there's so many different things that factor into why coaches make those decisions and why coaches are targeted too. I mean, just finding out the list of who the, you know, Ohio State is actually going to go after is going to be pretty interesting if that becomes public at all, you know, their top five or their top
right.
three or whoever it is. I mean, just that alone is interesting enough to look at you know, I'd be shocked. I saw what you saw. I saw the Sean Miller ties and connections and all that, and I'm thinking, why would he do that? You know, that's. I don't know that Sean Miller would leave Arizona to come to Kansas if that ever presented itself. So I can't imagine that he would then do that to go to Ohio State.
No, I agree. I don't think either one of those guys are going to get there. I think that every football school has the capability of being successful in basketball. I think that's what you got with Texas. I think that's what you had with Florida for a little while. I think that's what you have the capability, and we saw it for a bit under Thad Matta, which is why those schools are kind of thrust into the conversation of, well, could they really go out and get one of these big-name coaches? Because if you've got facilities, generally that means you've got money, and if you got money, generally that means your football program is bringing some of it in. So I think if you've got a football program, which all those schools I just mentioned have, you have the chance to go out and get those high-profile coaches.
Yeah, well, and that's the dream, right? I mean, Florida's done it a little bit. Ohio State obviously did it for a little bit. I mean, to be honest, even, you know, it was just 2007, 2008, but even Kansas did it. I mean, the Orange Bowl, the Final Four, the national title, I mean, now that wasn't sustained, as everyone well knows, but it was still proof that it could be done. So I think, you know, more so than trying to make a splash or find a name or go big, you know, I think the best thing you can do is try to find the guy that fits what you're trying to do. And whether that's, you know, philosophically or his morals or his what coaching tree he's a part of or or his recruiting ties or whatever it is, you know, if whatever fits you best. And that's why, you know, when it went down, I loved the hire that Indiana made of Archie Miller. They could have probably gone bigger and got a better, bigger named coach, thrown a little more money out there even to make that happen. But, you know, it seems like Archie Miller could be a really, really good fit there. And I like that. Now, with that being said, I already saw his name pop up for Ohio State too. So I can't see that. I mean, you know, if you're going to go to Indiana, why are you going to go leave there immediately and go to Ohio State? I don't see the move there. I don't know why his name came up, and maybe it was just some random Twitter thing that I saw or whatever. But, you know, I think more so than trying to find the big names and whatnot, you know, you got to try to find the guys that fit. And, you know, I don't mean to take this into Kansas football and be blasphemous and be ridiculous here, but obviously Kansas would like to be one of those programs, you know, that has a big-time football presence and a big-time basketball presence. One of them already exists. We've seen it can happen. But, you know, instead of going out and trying to throw $25 million a year at Nick Saban to get him to leave Alabama, that's not realistic, nor is that the way to do it, you know. So right. So they went out and they found a guy like David Beatty. And whether he gets it done or not remains to be seen, but he does fit, and he is the right kind of guy to have here because he's got that tireless workers mentality. He's an underdog of sorts in his own right. You know, he's going to get after it. He's got energy. I mean, you know, all the reasons that he's at least a good guy for this job. So does that mean he's going to become, you know, a perennial power? Does that mean they're going to get there? I don't know. I mean, we're so far away from that right now that I don't think you can say that. But if you look into the crystal ball and maybe glance 5 years down the road and take a peek at this thing, could you see KU being a perennial bowl team and you know, challenging in the Big 12 and then obviously Bill Self still here doing his thing? I don't think you have to squint that hard to see that. So that's why for me it's all about fit, and I'll be really interested to see, you know, if Ohio State goes that way. If they go, hey, let's forsake the big name and the big money guy and just make sure we get the right guy, because we know we can win if we get the right guy. But if we throw a bunch of money in, and, you know, Charlie Weiss is a good example of that. I mean, you know, he was a big name, sexy hire, popular guy, tons of money, and it was a failure, you know. So that's the interesting thing for me for Ohio State. It's going to be really cool to see what direction they go. And you know, that's not saying there can't be some overlap. I mean, there maybe right. A big name and a bunch of money does overlap with the right fit. And if that's the case, then it's probably a pretty easy hire at that point.
Matt Tate of the Lawrence Journal World with us for just a couple more minutes here on Rock Chalk Sports Talk, new FM 101.7 and 1320 KLWN. Before I let you go, Matt, coming up in the next hour, Derek and I are going to be doing a pickup player draft, KU players all time for a pickup game in honor of the Rock Chalk Roundball Classic this Thursday. So tell me, if you had the first pick, all time KU players for a 5-on-5 pickup game, who are you going with?
Wow, I love that. I'm going to have to listen. I won't be in by the radio, but I will definitely log on later and check out that segment on your site, because
love it.
That sounds exciting. Gosh, I don't know. You know, I mean, the immediate person that came to mind, and you know, obviously if you're going to say Wilt Chamberlain, I'm not going to hate you for it. If you're going to say Danny Manning, I'm not going to hate you for it. But for some reason, the first guy that came to my mind, and it's probably a little bit ridiculous, and given a little more time, I might go a different direction. I might try to get this guy a little further down my draft board, but Tyshawn Taylor is the guy that comes to my mind immediately because he's a pickup player. I mean,
right.
You put Tyshawn Taylor on any playground in any city in any country in the world, and your team's going to have a chance because that's his game. He's going to be good with the ball. He's going to be aggressive. He's going to be nasty. He's going to talk a little. He can shoot. He can get to the rim. He can play defense. I mean, he's a pickup guy. So, like I said, I might try to slide him down my board a little bit and maybe get him, you know, with a little bit of a steal value instead of going big at that number one spot. But just in the interest of time and actually giving you an answer, that was the first guy that came to my mind. And he's also one of my favorite dudes that I've ever watched or covered here. He was just so awesome, and he played with that sort of style, right? I mean, he had a little bit of pickup mentality to everything he did. So, you know, the other guy that came to mind was Thomas Robinson, and the coolest thing about that was in whatever year that would have been, so 2012, you know, Thomas Robinson obviously was drafted as a lottery pick by Sacramento, and I was out in New York covering the draft. And the story that I wrote the night before the draft, you know, Tyshawn was obviously eligible in that draft as well. And I wrote a story talking to Thomas Robinson about going out to Tyshawn Taylor's hometown of Hoboken, New Jersey, not far from New York City, right across the river. And you know, they were just kind of talking and catching up and reminiscing and getting the nerves out. And what do you expect for tomorrow? Are you excited? All that stuff. And, you know, one thing led to another. All of a sudden they got a ball. They're on the playground that Tyshawn grew up playing on. So they're shooting around a little bit. Next thing you know, one of them takes his hat off. Next thing you know, the other takes his cell phone out of his pocket. Next thing you know, the other guy takes his jewelry off. And by the end of this exchange, where they're just, you know, a couple of old teammates and old friends reminiscing and kind of looking forward to what's next for them, they're getting after it. I mean, they're going one-on-one on the playground, playing hard, you know, trying to use their strengths against the other one. Thomas Robinson overpowering Tyshawn Taylor. Tyshawn Taylor outquicking Thomas Robinson. And I didn't get to see it. I would have killed to be there. I mean, that would have been a really fun thing to see and even get video of and all that kind of thing. But I did get that firsthand account of it. And just hearing it, writing it was so cool. I mean, what a moment for those two guys. You know, that's among a bunch of memorable moments out there in New York covering the draft. That's probably my favorite. Just how that all played out and just hearing that story was really cool to see. And so maybe that's in my head too when I'm thinking about your exercise here.
Well, I like it. I like the Tyshawn Taylor. I like the mentality you're taking for that draft, and you'll have to tune into the podcast to see who actually ends up going number one. We'll see if Tyshawn makes my squad. I'm going to have to take that into consideration.
I'm honored to hear that. I appreciate it. And I definitely will. And you know, props to you, man. You guys have been killing it all week with good stuff about this Rock Chalk Round Ball Classic. I mean, it's a great event, very, very cool thing, and I'm impressed with all the dudes you've been able to get on and all the guys that are giving you their time, too, to talk about this thing. Just shows what a cool community and what a cool event this is, and props to you for that. That's awesome.
Well, thank you for your time, my man. You're one of those esteemed guests that was fortunate enough to hop on the radio with us. So thanks for your time, as always, man.
Much appreciated. Thanks, Nick. We'll talk to you.
That's Matt Tate of the Lawrence Journal-World. I'm Nick Schwert, Rock Chalk Sports Talk on the new FM 101.7 and 1320 KLWN. Let's Rank Stuff is next.